All right, everyone. That's going to do it for this. Going to do it for me, Bill. I am here every Friday from 10 to 1. We're going to turn it over here after our departing song. We're going to kick it off, and then you'll be in for the WHFR, the new WHFR Journal. So have a great weekend. Have a great day. Sorry about the mistakes, but gremlins do stop by. So have a great one.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go home. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go home. I hate to leave you, but I really must say, oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go home. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go home. I hate to leave you, I really must say. Oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night. Well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Baby, I just can't get right. Well, I hate to leave you, baby. I don't mean maybe, because I love you so. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. I hate to leave you, I really must say. Oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night. Your mother, oh, and your father, like it if I stay here too long. One kiss in the dark, and I'll be going. You know I hate to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. I hate to leave you, I really must say. Oh, good night, sweetheart. Good
Good afternoon. Hi, this is Angel Gomez, and I'm going to be sitting in for Jay Kornick today on the new Dearborn Journal. What I'm going to do is introduce our first guest here shortly. Her name is Diane Green, and she is with the. She's going to be talking about the Imagine the Possibilities, a non-traditional careers for men. Later in the hour, we're going to be featuring Jennifer Knott Gearing, the president of the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce. And if there's time in between or after or whenever, I'll probably be reading the newspaper like Jay does every Friday and telling you about some local interest stories in the Dearborn area. All right, well, might as well get started. I'd like to introduce our first guest. Her name is Diane Green, and she's the Associate Dean for Counseling, Assisted Learning Services, and the Women's Focus on Me. And she's here to talk about the Imagine the Possibilities, a non-traditional career seminar for men. It's the fourth annual, and tell us a little bit about.
Well, we're really excited about this because it is the fourth annual, and we've seen with each seminar that we've presented, it's gotten bigger and better. We're hoping that this is going to be the biggest yet as we look at the numbers of individuals who are out here trying to make career changes as a result of, unfortunately, pink slips, layoffs, and losses of jobs. So we're hoping that this is going to, in fact, be our largest. It will kick off on Wednesday, March the 25th, in the Hackett Conference Room of our Health Careers Building. And we'll start off, we like to feed folks, so we'll start off at 8:30 in the morning with registration and a continental breakfast. We are asking people to call in advance, and they can actually pre-register. They can contact our own Brenda Buchanan in the Office of Assisted Learning Services at 313-845-9617. Let me run that again. 313-845-9617 to pre-register, and we just, you know, hope folks are going to come on down and spend the morning with us.
Tell me a little bit about the history of this event. Now, this is non-traditional careers. What does that actually mean?
Well, what it means is we're focusing in this instance on health careers, which typically have historically been non-traditional for men. When you look at nursing and respiratory therapy, surgical tech, pharmacy technology, historically these are areas of work that have been populated by women. So the idea, and this is built out of the Perkins Funding Program, which is a federal program which promotes individuals going into career and technical education areas of study. Here we're looking at men who are interested in those non-traditional careers. We also do one in the fall for women who are wanting to go into technology. They want to work on cars, they want to be into energy technology, they want to do manufacturing, architectural construction tech. So in the spring, we just kind of flip it, and we do the non-traditional careers in health careers and nursing for men.
Oh, very good. Now, you say that this is the fourth annual. Has the participation increased every year? And with the obvious economies challenges we have right now, have you noticing more of an interest this year?
Well, we have not started to receive registrations yet. Hopefully those will start rolling in. What we find is probably more people register on site, and individuals are certainly welcome to do that. The first year we did it, we perhaps had 8 men to attend. The second year, our numbers jumped to about 23. So we're hoping that this year will fill the room. Since we are seeing more individuals coming in, no workers left behind, who are wanting to take advantage of those funds that are available to them. And there is a keen interest in our nursing and health careers programs. This gives them an opportunity in one setting, in one morning, to find out about, gain information about, information on all of these programs.
So not only do they come in and maybe have a mindset they want to get into the medical field, you can break it down and see what area of the medical field they can go into, as I understand it.
Exactly. A lot of individuals are uncertain, first of all, about what we have to offer. Others may come in with their mind set on a particular area, but they have the opportunity throughout the morning to get the information on all of the programs. So those individuals who are undecided have an opportunity to, in fact, secure information on all of the programs and then hopefully make a more informed decision about which program. Those who come in who say, I want to go into nursing or I want to be a respiratory therapist, then they can focus on getting the necessary information they need to finalize their decision.
Well, that's pretty interesting. Now, as I understand it, on the agenda, you have different speakers speaking to different areas. Can you tell us a little bit about, like, who's coming in to talk and who's going to be speaking?
Yes. For our respiratory therapy, and let me say this, we really try to get our lead faculty to come in and talk with the individuals in attendance. This way, they begin to connect with someone directly related to the program. And who better than the program director? So for respiratory therapy, Sue Waters, who is one of the instructors, will be presenting. Dorothy Roth-Gary will be speaking to the surgical tech program. And in this instance, the students will actually be able to go in and see that lab, see how that area of learning is set up for them. Teresa Matsug will be presenting for pharmacy technology. Catherine Howe, who is the associate dean for nursing, will also be presenting and speaking to the nursing program. We also have two keynote speakers, and we get real excited about this because this is where we want to bring in current students or individuals who have actually graduated from one of the programs. So in our opening period of the program, beginning at 9 o'clock, Sean Joyce, who is a radiography program graduate, eagerly said, "Let me come in. Let me talk to the guys. Let me tell them what it was like for me being a student at Henry Ford and coming through the program and now being gainfully employed." We also have William Porter, who is a nursing student, who will, in fact, talk about the nursing program. Again, students will have an opportunity or potential prospective students will have an opportunity to visit the nursing lab and see what that world of learning is also about.
That sounds very exciting. Now, who's eligible to come here? Is this open to the public?
It's open to anyone who's interested in programs offered at Henry Ford Community College in Health Careers and Nursing. It's also open to students who are currently attending, who have not quite finalized those career decisions about what I want to be when I grow up. It is also open to them. We do welcome individuals to come in on a walk-in basis throughout the morning. That particularly serves current students well, as they can come in between classes.
Very good. So they can attend part of this if they wanted to just check out maybe the 9:45 ophthalmic ophthalmic technician,
yes.
Physical therapy assistant. Okay,
real tongue twister.
Can you imagine taking a course? Now, what they're doing here is they're going to learn about the different avenues that are available to them, in which they can take courses, which will prepare them for going out into the market and gaining jobs. Is that
exactly
correct?
Exactly, because each of these programs lead to an associate degree, which then allows those individuals to be fully employable upon completing the program. So they learn about the admission requirements to get into the program. They learn about the clinical requirements. In the two instances, they are able to see a couple of the labs and see what that lab learning is about. They have an opportunity to meet other individuals who are coming in to learn about the program, and more importantly, an opportunity to engage faculty and students who have gone through the programs or are currently in them. And all of that's rich. That's rich for them, and hopefully they make the decision to come to Henry Ford and go on one of our programs.
So for anyone listening out there, actually men listening out there right now, and they're trying to decide what they're going to do with a new career path if they've been forced into that situation, or if they're in a situation where they're determining that they want a career path, which is hopefully the case, this would be a good opportunity for them to learn all that is necessary to proceed in this area. Is that correct? I mean, everything
exactly.
From admission to work through to and being able to talk to actual people that have completed the program and are making a living.
Exactly.
Well, that's a fantastic, fantastic opportunity for them. And if you'd like, why don't you repeat how they can get in touch, when it is, and how this all works for them. If they're driving a car, you want to pick up maybe pull over, get a pencil and paper out, and if you're really inclined to do so, you'll be able to hear this on a podcast at whfr.fm. This will be linked up under Dearborn Journal, and you can listen to this information and hear it all again, see if it's right for you. So why don't you let us know exactly what they need to do to get applied for this.
Okay. Step one, you can call Brenda Buchanan at 313-845-9617 to pre-register. Or you can register on site on the day of the event, which is Wednesday, March the 25th, We start registration and a free continental breakfast at 8:30 a.m. The program concludes at 1 o'clock p.m., and there is free lunch, and we've got goodies to give away for those who are in attendance. So we're hoping all of you out there in listeners' world will take advantage of this opportunity, particularly men who are trying to make career decisions about where they want to journey in the remainder of their working years.
Well, the medical field is a growing and recession-proof industry, as we've learned. Is there any fee for this?
It's absolutely free.
So let me get this straight. If you're driving around and you're thinking about what you want to do with your life, and you're thinking, well, the medical field would be good for me, I could, on Wednesday, March 25th, come down to the Hackett Conference Room at Henry Ford Community College, get free breakfast, free lunch, and find out exactly what I'm going to do with the rest of my life.
Exactly. Can I recap these areas? Because there were a couple that I didn't get. Physical therapy assistant and the ophthalmic technician programs will be addressed by Lorraine Pathenroff. There's respiratory therapy, surgical technology, pharmacy technology, and nursing.
A wonderful program. And I would have to say that if anybody is listening to this and they are deciding what they want to do, or if they just want to be enlightened at what opportunities are available to them, at no cost, you can sign up. And once again, that number is 313-845-9617. Talk to Brenda, and she can pre-register you. Or if you happen to just be in the area on Wednesday, March 25th, that's the Hackett Conference Room at Henry Ford Community College. I want to thank you very much for coming in. It's fantastic.
Thank you for having me.
It's a great program, and I wish you continued success with it.
Thanks so much.
And it's outstanding.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. We're going to go to a short break over here, and then our next guest will join us, Ms. Linda Gehring from the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce.
Highway 61 offers nothing but the finest in a wide variety of blues every Friday from 2 until 6 p.m. From the front porch to the concert stage, featuring local, national, and international blues, Highway 61 has something just for you. I'm Joanne Korchenska, and you are welcome to join me as I cruise down that historic highway every Friday from 2 until 6 p.m. Only on WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Independent radio at its very best since 1985.
WebAdvisor is a secure internet program that allows HFCC students and faculty to safely access their college-related information. Through WebAdvisor, current students may register for classes, drop-in at classes, pay for classes, retrieve grades, view and print schedules, get updates on financial aid info, check account balances. Log on to WebAdvisor at my.hfcc.edu or from the HFCC homepage at www.hfcc.edu.
In the month of March, the Arab American National Museum will be joining in partnership with the National Endowment for the Arts and the Detroit Area Library Network, presenting a month-long series of free events to encourage reading for pleasure. These events will be held at different locations around Detroit, and all who participate will receive a free copy of the book entitled The Thief and the Dogs, based on the region around Egypt during the 50s and 60s. Other free educational materials, such as teachers and readers' guides, will also be available to all attendees. If you want more information on how you or your group could become involved in this positive learning experience during the month of March, contact Arlene Wood at the Arab American Resource Center, 313-624-0223, or on the internet at the Arab American National Museum event calendar. Remember, reading opens the world to opportunity.
Our day starts very early at the USO. We support the troops at more than 130 centers around the world, and we never know exactly when we'll have a full house. But whatever comes up, travel arrangements, phone calls, emails back home, we'll do our very best to see they get what they need. If you want to make a difference in the life of someone serving our country, if you really want to make a difference, the USO is how it's done. Donate today at USO.org. The USO, until everyone comes home.
We're back on the new Dearborn Journal. Hi, this is Angel Gomez. I'm sitting in for Jay Kornick today, and I've had a wonderful time with all the people around here and an interesting conversation with Diane Green for her cause. We now have a new guest today, a very special one. Her name is Jennifer Gearing, and she is president of the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce, and I'd like to welcome you to WHFR.
Thank you very much, Angel.
Thanks, Jennifer. Jennifer, you know, I've got a lot of questions to ask, but initially, a lot of people have asked me, and now it's incumbent upon me to ask you, is what is a chamber of commerce and what is it all about?
That is an excellent question that comes up more often than you know. A chamber of commerce takes on a different shape depending on which region they're serving. For example, a chamber of commerce in Cape Cod or Orlando, Florida, is going to take the shape of a travel and tourism-focused organization. Perhaps a chamber of commerce in Iowa would be more agricultural, rural, more industry-focused. We at the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce are multifaceted for a number of reasons. We are really answering the call to Dearborn specifically. Take, for instance, the corporate presence that exists here in Dearborn. The increasing enrollment of students between Henry Ford Community College and our friend next door, U of M Dearborn, it's also considered, as I mentioned, not only a corporate town, but also a college town. And then with unique attributes like the Henry Ford and the Arab Museum and Henry Ford Estate, we're also a tourist destination, and we see between 1.2 and 1.5 million visitors each year. And, oh, by the way, we are a bedroom community that over 100,000 people call home. So we take on at the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce a multifaceted approach, but the common denominator is promoting business attraction and business growth. And we do that, and we've been doing that for over 65 years, and we have just over 550 members.
Over 550 members. Now, they're in all different types of businesses, or do they have other wings, so to speak?
Great question. The majority of those 550 businesses are small business, and not in the eyes of the government when we say small business, which can be anything other under 500 million. When we say small business, Angel, we're really talking about micro business, an entrepreneur, startup companies under 25 million is what we consider small business within the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce. And predominantly, we just did some studies looking at the makeup of our membership. The majority do reside, and when I say reside, their businesses reside in Dearborn. But what we're noticing, a trend we're noticing, is we're getting attention from businesses in other communities. We had five new members join just this month, and our membership manager, Renee Loy, tells me that none of them are in Dearborn. But what they're seeing in Dearborn is exciting. They want to do business in Dearborn. Their audience might be in Dearborn. So not only do we serve the immediate area of Dearborn, but also now growing into Dearborn Heights, Allen Park, downriver, into some of the northern suburbs. So it's exciting. We think that we're offering something that maybe those other business development organizations aren't.
Now, do they have Chamber of Commerce in every city? I mean, are those cities covered, but they're still choosing to join into Dearborn's?
Many of the communities are covered. we are very fortunate to have such a strong base and such a strong support in Dearborn that we have three full-time association professionals, two part-time, 23-member board of directors, and again, with a tremendous amount of resources and partners. So yes, a lot of the other communities in the region have chambers, or for example, Birmingham, Bloomfield, and Beverly Hills have combined one. And then most people are familiar with the Southern Wayne County Chamber of Commerce, where they're a conglomerate of many of the downriver communities.
So this is one of the probably most important business resources that one can take if they have a business and to join this type of an organization, the benefits involved in that.
Absolutely.
What about the general public? Somebody just, would it be useful to them in any way?
I would say if they were thinking about starting a business or they were representing perhaps in a professional manner, yes. Absolutely. And we do benefit the local community through one of our core strategies, and we can get to that. But one of our focuses this year is to develop the community as well. And so as a resident or a non-business owner, there are things that we do throughout the year that you would find useful or beneficial.
Oh, I see. So, but primarily, obviously, it is a business organization.
Absolutely.
And how do you keep they join. We're all members of a program. What do they do? How does that work for them?
Well, what we do, Angel, is we take a consultative approach with each one of our members. With 550 members, there's a broad and diverse need. You have someone who is thinking about starting a business all the way up to Ford Motor Company. We know their differences are vast. That's why we've set up six core initiatives that we strive to live by that guide our daily operations. However, we want to remain nimble enough and create capacity within our structure so that we can take advantage of opportunities that would help those diverse needs. So you come to us, we're going to sit down with you, spend an hour, at least hour and a half, talking to you about what we can do for your business. We want to learn about you as an individual and learn what you want to do. We don't sign you up and give you a calendar of events and say, here are our networking events. We absolutely take a consultative approach. In some cases, develop a customized marketing plan, laying out all of our benefits, and creating a mutual agreement of how involved that member is going to be. You can either dip your toe in to what we offer and kind of stand on the wall at one of our networking events, or you can jump in feet first. We stand by, you know, the adage, you get what you give.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that our members are involved, absolutely, the more they're going to gain.
Now, do you actively go out and seek businesses to join? Do they come to you? What's the, you know, makeup of that?
A little bit of both. We have been very, very fortunate that the communication and the activities that we have in place are attracting people so that we don't have to make a lot of cold calls. There are, in some instances, new businesses who come online that we want to reach out to, but there are about 4,000 businesses in Dearborn, and I say at some point, one of them have been a member at some point because we have been around so long. But Angel, without a dedicated cold call marketing strategy, you know, to mm-hmm. member growth, our membership manager brought on 80 new members last year.
That sounds like a big number.
It is a big number.
For one city.
It's absolutely a big number. You know, considering the struggles, we're able to prove time and time again the value that we bring to the membership. So and our retention numbers are going up because the average membership is $240. I mean, this is, you know, $20 a month.
Yes, it sounds like a great bargain there.
I spend more than that a month on coffee, right? So it's a pretty good investment when you're talking about growing your business.
It does sound very good. Now, you had mentioned in your as you were saying that they come to networking events.
Yeah.
What is that all about? What does that entail?
Well, we know that connections really are what is going to make your business grow in one way or another. You either want, as a business owner or as a professional, you want to get in front of the business community in a business-to-business type atmosphere or a business-to-consumer capacity, and that would be more like a restaurant that wants to get to that end user. So what we create are opportunities for businesses to get in front of other businesses through two different vehicles. One is our eye opener, which is in the morning, and one are our after hours, which happen after the work day. So either 8 to 9:30 or 5 to 7:30 approximately. They take on a little bit different feel, but attendance can range anywhere from 40 to 70 people. Now, and they're free once you sign up.
Very.
We have between 12 and 15 a year, and so either light breakfast and coffee is served in the morning, or heavy hors d'oeuvres in the evening. And you're not allowed, there's no way you can be a wallflower at these events. They're energetic. You've been to them. They're engaging. They're familiar. They're fun. And they're a great way to get your name out there.
As a little bit of a public disclaimer, I have been to many of them, and I've enjoyed all of them. And I'm also well aware of a new thing that the Dearborn Chamber has come up with, and that is called the Chamber Connect. And maybe you can tell me a little bit about that.
Sure, I'd be happy to. You're probably more of an expert on it than I. But what we were hearing, we always like to answer the call from our members, and what we were hearing is, wow, these networking events are fantastic, but they're growing and there's limited time. We want a dedicated group of individuals to meet on a regular basis, frequently, with the sole intention of passing referrals. And industry exclusive environment. So there's going to be one insurance representative, one marketing person, one attorney, one chiropractor. And this group of 12, 15, maybe 18 individuals meet twice a month at TPC Michigan. So the venue is very attractive, and it will be even more so in July. I'm going to make sure you guys are not on the golf course when you're supposed to be passing referrals this summer. And it's a nominal fee, $25 for 6 months, and it covers our costs. And you're off and running. It's a fantastic group that's growing.
Now, those are the kind of things that the Dearborn Chamber is trying to do, add to their portfolio, so to speak.
Absolutely.
So that they can present this to their membership in a way. Do you have other things going on with Board of Realtors? I think you have the Home and Garden Show coming.
Well, we do have really strong partnerships with the city administration, with our Board of Realtors, and Dearborn Public Schools, because we know that a strong community equals strong and healthy businesses. And so we're really trying to stick together. So in the instance of the Home and Garden Show, which is this Saturday the 14th at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, and that is hosted by the Dearborn Area Board of Realtors. And you can go to our website, dearbornchamber.org, to learn more about that. We cross-promote in a lot of different ways, because we know that we want to portray Dearborn as a great community to come and live, because when people are moving into our community, they're shopping and eating at our businesses. So we recognize that there's a correlation there. Absolutely. We've got some exciting things coming up, Angel. You know, again, when you talked about adding to our portfolio, we launched a new educational program in January. It's called Mind Your Own Business. We all heard this from our parents growing up. MYOB, Mind Your Own Business, right? So we thought it was very appropriate to introduce to our members this year. Again, programming is free. They're in the morning, 8 to 9:30, and they're on exciting topics that are relevant to our members. In January, we kicked off How to Succeed in a Recessionary Period. Our treasurer of the board, Dale Bender, who is a business consultant and a CPA, put on a great program for a packed boardroom. Next month, actually this month, we're in March already, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Time's flying.
Getting closer to warmer weather.
Thank goodness. March 24th, we're having What Does the Film Initiative Mean for You? Chris Baum from the Detroit Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and Mike Mosalam, who is the Film Initiatives Director for Wayne County, will be coming to speak to the membership. Again, free at the Chamber. You can register right online at dearbornchamber.org. And we're having other procurement opportunities, seminar with the MEDC coming up, how to navigate the financial markets with the chairman of our board, Marty Hager, with Dearborn Federal Savings Bank, and Mark Demarest, who's with Demarest Law Firm, will be talking about employment issues. So we're bringing in, it's really a win-win. We're bringing in the experts, they're showcasing their business and the services that they offer, and then the members gain because they're learning something that's relevant to their own business.
Very critical to know in these times, too. And
absolutely.
To have the knowledge that they can share with a member is, you know, you just can't get that anywhere else, actually. You never get that time from somebody of that stature.
And it's not in a sales environment. You know, when you get into a one-on-one, sometimes you feel pressured, or you have to retain that lawyer, or you have to use that banker to be, you know, a lender. This is easy, non-committal, get to know your other members at the table and then sit through a really informative session for an hour or so.
With all the membership and everything, you obviously have a lot of relationship, like as you were saying, with the government,
yes,
with the educational systems and stuff like that. As a matter of fact, I think I recently saw you on the at a city council meeting as I was watching the TV. What is the relationship between Dearborn Chamber and, you know, the city government, so to speak?
Yeah, we have a great relationship. We work very closely with the Economic and Community Development Department, Barry Murray and his team, and Building and Safety, Dave Norwood and his team. The mayor has been very, very good to the business community, very accessible, very approachable. We recently had a situation, I work with a nonprofit, where they needed a bus stop moved. He picked up the phone and made the appropriate connections, and we were able to submit a request. So we're very, very fortunate to have a good relationship with the city. You know, we're looking at becoming actually a tenant of theirs in the Bryant Library, first floor of the historic building in downtown West Dearborn, and they've been great partners with the farmers market that we're having again on Fridays in downtown West Dearborn. It'll be at, again, surrounding the Bryant Library on Friday, starting the beginning of June, running through the end of October. And again, more information can be found on that at dearbornchamber.org. So we have a great working relationship with them.
And what with the educational facilities? How do you interact with them?
Well, one of our core strategies focuses on education. And oddly enough, it's not educating our members so much as it is enhancing the educational resources we have here in the city of Dearborn, whether that's the outstanding K-12 education that Dearborn Public Schools puts on, or, you know, the Michael Berry Career Center, or the I believe it's DCMST. I might have the acronym mixed up there. But we want, again, that we use that healthy community equals healthy businesses. We want to showcase what Dearborn Public Schools has to offer. So we work, the business community works with them to host Teacher of the Year Awards. Alberta Muirhead is the sponsor, and we each year we recognize an elementary, middle, and high school teacher. And we get hundreds of applications, and this is the time of year. And every day that they come in, we get nearly 400 applications each year for Teacher of the Year, which is exciting. And we have mock interviews and job shadowing, and we're working on a mentoring program. We recognize that, you know, there's a need and between the to create a relationship between the business community and students. So we also work with Henry very closely with Henry Ford Community College and U of M Dearborn.
All of those different prongs, so to speak, or spokes in the wheel, mm-hmm, that keeps the city, oh, great acronym there, or analogy.
Right.
Putting that together with Dearborn, you know, Dearborn has been around for a long time, and
yes,
it's been known as the hometown of Henry Ford, and obviously the Ford Motor Company has been an integral part in the development of this town, as well as lending its support in many different areas. Now, as the company faces more of a struggle, so to speak, and, you know, for survivorship, basically, and it seems to be winning that with the Way Forward plans and all that, what impact have you seen from that type of withdrawal of support, so to speak? They're not actually leaving, but they're obviously having to reduce a lot of their help to the city. Are other businesses picking up the fray, or is this, you know, have we noticed things that are happening from government that are trying to expand businesses? I mean, what other different type things have you noticed have been a result of the times that we're experiencing now?
It is, and from our perspective, from the Chamber's perspective, Ford Motor Company has been fantastic. They're clearly our largest member. They've had a presence on our board ever since I can remember, and before that, they've not only lent financial resources, but leadership resources, huge advocate for the Chamber, so we're very, very thankful for that relationship. As it relates to the business community, I think that small businesses have experienced that belt tightening. It's been slow, and it's been for a number of years. So you go back 5 years, you know, the lunch crowd started to thin out, and traffic started to lighten a little bit. And I, from my perspective, it's been a slow evolution. But in sitting down most recently with a restaurant owner last week, he said, you know, Jennifer, our bread and butter used to be lunch, and we recognize that we can't get that back anymore for a number of reasons. We've put our energy into dinner, into weekends, and bringing in entertainment, and we're holding our own. So the slow evolution has created efficiencies, you know, pushed us to the limit where we didn't think that we would ever be on that edge. We haven't fallen off. You know, we're doing okay. We're holding our own. Solid business plans are weathering the storm. You know, if you have a good product at an affordable price, you have good help, good staff that are trained, focused on customer service, your cash flow is good, you know, you're buckling down. There are businesses that are weathering the storm.
You know, I can notice when you're speaking, you speak with a passion, and that passion exemplifies. I think what the Dearborn Chamber has been able to, it's flowed over into what the Chamber does for its members. And the energy that comes out of that is something. Maybe tell me a little bit about the history of the Chamber. How has that evolved? When did it start, and how long have you been there, and how did that all evolve?
Well, the Chamber has been around for about 68 years. We are located at Michigan and Greenfield in an old bank, actually. We still have a safe that we use for our office supplies. And we recently found a newsletter from the 50s. It was in black and white, and the title was The Men Who Serve You. And it was headshots of all, you know, the prominent men in town who made up the board of directors and who made up the staff. And we found this last year when we had a woman, Isabel Beam, who was the chairman of the board, and then there's the five of us that work in the office, three full-time, two part-time, are all women. So there's an evolution for you, you know, the men who serve you to the women who are in charge now. But it was very focused on small business and focused on Dearborn. The biggest change that you're going to notice is that we're focused on a more regional, a more broad scope now. You know, we can't be in competition with Allen Park. We can't be in competition with Birmingham. We can't be in competition with Novi. We're in competition with California. We're in competition with Dubai. We're in competition with emerging markets all over the world. And the more we focus on sticking together, shared resources, collaborative efforts, reducing our expenses, increasing our revenue, I think the more we'll have to gain. So there's been a tremendous evolution over the years.
That's an incredible strategy, so to speak, that was a profound statement. As communications as the world shrinks, so to speak, we're closer to everyone else. Therefore, reaching out and making sure that we have a relationship with everyone on a positive level is going to be advantageous for all. And it's extremely interesting that when you said that, could you tell me, it sounds like you had a background in business. Mm. What is your background with business?
Well, I previous to this position, and so for the record, and full disclaimer, I've been a Dearborn resident my entire life. I was born and raised here. I went to Dearborn Public Schools, Edsel Ford High School, and then I went away to Bowling Green State University in Ohio. I crossed the border, so to speak. Came back and decided to buy a home here. So I've always had a passion for Dearborn. Dearborn is what I know. My family all lived here, you know, from here. And I was most recently at the Michigan Hispanic Chamber of Commerce as their membership services director. They recognized that they needed to create some structure around their recruitment and retention plan, and the leadership was fantastic, and I thought that was an excellent opportunity. I always liked working in a small business environment and association management. So I was there for nearly 3 years when the position here at the Dearborn Chamber opened up, and I thought, well, you know, maybe it's time that I get back to my roots and the community that I love. And it's brought a great amount of value, I think, to the position, because when you pick up the phone and someone has a question, you don't have to look through the membership directory. You don't have to look through your Rolodex. You simply have to pull on memory. What was that store called at the corner of so-and-so? And who runs this? And, you know the house here? And we could write a book on the kind of questions we get, honestly. What's the name of the cemetery on Cherry Hill and Outer Drive? We are all things to all people.
Oh, that one stumped me on there. But what? Do you know the answer to that question?
I think it's St. Martha's. Okay. I might be wrong. The listeners don't call in. But there is a tremendous amount of value. And actually, all five of the women who work in the office live in Dearborn.
Well, as a lifelong resident myself, I take pride in it. And I think it shows that a lot of people in the Dearborn community spend a lot of time you know, maybe lately it's been a little bit challenging, but nobody wants to leave. Once you're here, and a lot of people that have left want to come back, and they get a chance to do that every August in the first weekend at the Dearborn Homecoming.
Absolutely.
And I've been told that that is one of the largest in the country of its kind. I mean, obviously, people may be familiar with Livonia Spree, or every town has something like that. But the homecoming of, you know, out at Ford Field is probably, if not the largest, one of the largest get-togethers from a city, and it's all based on the fact that of the values that we grew up with and stuff like that. And now listening to what the Dearborn Chamber is doing. Now, you went to Bowling Green and studied?
International business.
Okay, so that's your background with the business, and
right.
What lends itself to your expertise. Because, quite frankly, I've had conversations with you previously, but the expertise that you've shared and the knowledge that you have has totally impressed not only myself, but everybody that's been around and has overheard some of these conversations. And that's a unique...
That's kind of you.
Well, it's very true. And that being said, with the Dearborn, you know, I can see the passion that you've had for the city. You come back and you've been here, and I've heard you speak on many other occasions in front of cameras at the city council meeting, in front of very many, you know, business people that are very intricately entwined into the city. It's contagious. One cannot help but feel passionate about the city that they belong to after listening to you speak. And I just want to thank you for that personally, as well if anybody's listening over the radio or on the internet at WHFR.FM, the station making waves, which I'm supposed to say every 15 minutes. I forgot about doing that. I think it's Jay waves that during this show. But all those different things that you bring together with the chamber, and I've actually had the opportunity to see it in action. So I've seen the Chamber Connect up close. I've seen the meet and greets in the mornings, and the eye openers in the mornings, and the after hours in the evenings. And I've seen how they work. And not only does the Chamber sponsor them, they're also an active part of them. And if anybody out there has been a member of those type of scenarios, and that, you know, a lot of people, it's a meet and greet, everyone's trying to sell things and stuff like that. Well, an interesting twist was taken last week that unfortunately I was a little ill on Tuesday and was unable to attend, but I heard that there was a little bit of a role reversal where you asked the actual people, what are you ready to buy? And it was quite interesting, some of the things that came out of that. Maybe you can share some of that.
Certainly. I walked into our eye opener a few minutes late, and I was bowled over. I couldn't believe the energy and the enthusiasm in the room at 8 a.m. There were 60 people ready to network and ready to go, and knew that hour was going to be the best use of their time all week. What we do at our eye openers that makes us unique is we have everyone go around, take 30 seconds or so, and talk about who they are and what they're selling. Well, one of the most recent networking events, I found that I was tuning out. I was starting to think about my grocery list. I was thinking about what I needed to do next. And I thought, well, if I'm doing this, everybody, and I'm the president of the chamber, everybody else is doing this, because it was commercial after commercial after commercial. And we as consumers are bombarded, you know, whether it's on the radio or whether it's television or on our phones, what have you, with commercial after commercial. I thought, well, what are we going to do to get people to pay attention? And I thought, well, let's not only have people talk about what they're selling, but what they're buying. And we're going to keep people's attention, because you want to know if you're in the running. So we had individuals who were saying, and I'm not kidding, I'm selling print material, but you know what? I'm in the market for a new car. That gets your attention, especially from the group who was there, you know, with the local car dealership.
Exactly.
And I actually heard that someone bought a car that morning.
Oh, really?
They signed a deal. Yeah. So we
fantastic.
Have really great things happening. But, you know, people seem to love it. And people were then more engaged in the process versus just feeling that they were being talked at and worrying about what they were going to say when it was their turn.
And where do these meetings take place? Are they all the same place, or they travel around?
They travel around. Another really great, you know, benefit of being a chamber member, you get to showcase your business, your office, your product to a captive audience for very little investment.
I see, because I've attended some at the Menudo the Martial Arts Studio.
Yep, absolutely.
And a few of the others, I believe. Where was this last one at?
This was actually in Dream Dinner at Dream Dinners in Allen Park at the new Independence Shopping Center.
And these are all available for members. So
it's free to host, too.
So there's no charge. So if you're a member and you want to host one of these events to showcase your material, you can expect at least 70, 50, 60, 70
Right.
And plus people coming to them.
Now space is becoming an issue.
Now you have to have bigger venues and
right,
stuff like that.
Right.
And I saw on the website as before we came in that you have events planned out throughout, you know, some of them are coming in for the remainder of the year.
We do. You know, thanks for bringing that up, Angel. We've got a couple of exciting events. We have our annual meeting mid-April, again, free Bravo Cucina, I believe it is.
Cucina Italiano.
Thank you. Well done.
I
there.
Just happened to be there a couple
Cucina
days ago.
I'm sorry that I don't know how to pronounce that second part of their name there. They're offering their space for our annual meeting. They're providing the food. It's a cash bar. You can come here about what the chamber is doing. That's mid-April.
So that's open to everybody.
Open chamber members, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, chamber members only.
Right.
Any prospective have to get in touch with you.
Absolutely.
Where they can see that.
Yep.
And how does one become a member of a chamber? Do they... can they see what's going on? Can they?
Yeah, we really think that our events and our programs speak for themselves, so we're not afraid to have prospective members come and experience what we do prior to signing up. We encourage it. We love it because last week, here's what we have, 60 people who are willing to do business with you. They sign up. They often are turning their checks over by the end of the event. As I mentioned, average membership dues, again, it's going to range on the number of employees you have. Small business can figure about $240, but it is prorated. So if you're coming in March or April, you know, to run through the end of 2009, it's going to be a little bit less than that. You simply have to call the chamber offices, 313-584-6100, and you can speak with Renee Aloy, who is our membership manager, and or go right online to dearbornchamber.org to learn more about what we do.
That's excellent. So you can just try it before you buy it.
Absolutely.
That's a welcome invitation. And they can just call up the office. Once again, that's Renee Aloy at 313-584-6100. Mm-hmm. She'll be glad to work you through there and
Absolutely. Give
you all the prerequisites. And I believe you have some other upcoming things that are exciting.
Yeah, just a couple of things. You know, as a part of regionalism, we want to expose our members to decision makers, key business people who will affect their business growth and their business success. So on April 22nd at the Dearborn Inn, we are having our second Economic Outlook Breakfast, and the keynote speaker is Chris Illich with Illich Holdings. You might be familiar with the Illich family. This year, he is also the chairman of the Detroit Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau, and he's going to talk about what the Bureau is doing to attract conventions and business and visitors to the region. So we think that that's going to be very well attended, very exciting. And then May 15th, I'm sure you're familiar, Angel, is our premier event, our Business Recognition Luncheon and Expo. We honor an Individual of the Year and a Business of the Year. Individual of the Year is going to be Don Karcher with Karcher Insurance, and Business of the Year is yours truly, Henry Ford Community College.
How about that? I didn't even know that.
That's celebrating 70 years this year, and it's a beautiful luncheon. We expect just shy of 400, and it's an expo. So you come at 11 o'clock, 11 to 12. There's about 35 expo booths. We have a few still available. Enjoy a nice lunch and a program, and then network for the other hour or so and have some dessert. It's a beautiful event. For members, it's $50. For non-members, it's $65, and we still have sponsorships and a few booths available.
So anybody can come to this?
Yeah, anybody.
Oh, that's
it's
fantastic.
A beautiful event.
And it's going to be located where?
At the Ritz-Carlton.
Oh. Geez, $50 to go to Ritz-Carlton, that's a deal.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. That's fantastic. And as I understand it, you work with a lot of other chambers. You have, like, gotten together to do one big event, if I'm not mistaken.
Breaking the Boundaries. It's a multi-chamber event. We are a part of the Western Suburbs Chamber of Commerce group, and there's my Bella.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to bring that up, weren't you?
Exactly.
I went off track here. So end of March, again, you can get more information on dearbornchamber.org. But you can network with not only our chamber members, but members of 13 other organizations. It's only $10. Our booth space is sold out. But to get in front of this large audience, it's at Burton Manor. I believe it's on the 26th. 5:30 to 7:30, $10, and you just have to be a member of one of the participating chambers to participate, to attend that
so
event.
So in other words, you're taking, this is like a networking event on steroids. So you get it from the entire Southeast region, correct?
Great way to put it.
How many different chambers are participating in that?
14.
And that's coordinated effort through the 14 leaders to put this type of an event together?
Yes.
And it's done, how often does that happen?
It happened twice last year, and this is the first this year. So we will take a look at having another one. But they're wildly successful.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, we're speaking with Jennifer Gearing, the president of the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce, and we're going to take a one-minute break and come back and close out the show and take it from there. So listen to this.
Do you like nature and live in the Detroit metro area? Then you should check out the Friends of the Rouge Frog and Toad Survey Training Workshops. Training for volunteers interested in surveying local Rouge wetlands for frogs and toads is being offered by the Friends of the Rouge. No prior experience is necessary to participate in the survey. Just a willingness to learn 8 breeding calls and go out at night and listen within the Rouge River watershed. Volunteers must pre-register and attend 1 2-hour workshop being held Wednesday, March 4th in Canton, or Saturday, March 14th in Farmington Hills, or Saturday, March 21st in Plymouth. Call 313-792-9621 or email monitoring@therouge.org to sign up, or visit the Friends of the Rouge's website at www.therouge.org. The survey is made possible by grants from the Rouge River National Wet Weather Demonstration Project and the Farmington Hills Foundation for Youth and Families.
La-di-da, la-di-da. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom.
You're back with the new Dearborn Journal. The Dearborn Journal is hosted usually by Jay Kornick, who is currently off this week. And my name is Angel Gomez, and I'm subbing for him. And I just wanted to clean up a few things before I finish it up with Jennifer here. If you were listening earlier, Imagine the Possibilities, Non-Traditional Careers for Men, is taking place at Hackett Conference Room, and that's in the Health Careers Education Center, room H150, on Wednesday, March 25th. For men who are seeking possible opportunities in the medical field, that program will be available to you. It's free and includes breakfast and lunch, and it goes through with all the details of how you can apply, get your college degree, and move on into the medical field. A wealth of knowledge there, and that's Wednesday, March 25th. And you can call 313-845-9617 to pre-register for that course. We currently have Jennifer Gearing, the president of the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce, here with us for the last few minutes before Joanne comes in with Highway 61. And if you've been listening, I know you guys are just, if you have a business or you know people in business, you're going to want to have them call Renee Alo, the membership chairman at Dearborn Chamber, at 313-584-6100 to get more information. And if you missed part of this interview, you're going to want to go to whfr.fm and definitely download the podcast and put that into your MP3 player. And when, next time you take a walk or a run, you'll want to be listening to it all. It's very good. So, Jennifer, I have to bring this up. Recently, in the Dearborn Press and Guide, there was an article about how you had gone to the animal shelter and adopted a dog by the name of Bella. Recently, I just received an issue of Paw Prints from the Friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter, and it had a story about it. So why don't we do this live for everybody else? Tell us the story of Bella, because I know I've called, and I've actually know that you take her to the office with you and everything. Well, what's the little bit of background on that?
Well, I was a few minutes late because I had to take her home, or I would have brought her into the studio with me. You know, Angel, I've never had a dog. I never really understood the connection that owners had with their pets. I respected it, but I didn't understand it, and I quite frankly never thought it was for me. Took down the Christmas tree in January, put all the decorations away, all the parties had stopped, and I decided, or I realized I only had one other living thing in my house besides me, and that was a plant, and that just wasn't going to do. So I proclaimed one day that I was going to get a dog, and there was no one to tell me that I couldn't, or that I shouldn't, or that I worked too much, an argument that I had heard in the past, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to make this work. So I started doing some research, and I, you know, one of the first things I did was call my friends at the Dearborn Animal Shelter, and And I said, you know, do you have a wish list? And they said, yeah, absolutely. What are you looking for? I said, something that's, you know, small and it doesn't shed a lot. And they said, well, you know, we've got an 8-year-old Shih Tzu and a Lhasa Apso. And I ran over there and, you know, the Lhasa Apso was a little bit crazy and the Shih Tzu was 8 years old. And Bella was there and I fell in love with her. And pulled her out of her cage. And, you know, everybody has a story, but she came right up to me, sat on my lap. And it was love at first sight. And she is the greatest dog. She's the love of my life. She's my best friend. And to all you people out there who don't have animals, I completely understand that you don't get what I'm saying. But she's the greatest. She comes to work with me every day. She's about 20 pounds, so she's on my lap. Or she's taking a walk with me. And she's got a funny little personality and great little antics. And she is a great, great dog.
I'm looking at a picture. What type of dog is that?
You know, I think she's a lab terrier mix, and I just have to put a plug in for the Dearborn Animal Shelter. What a remarkable organization they are. They are friendly. They are accessible. They made the adoption seamless. They have follow-up and training, and they want to make sure it's a good match, and they're a fantastic group over there who are very, very dedicated. And you talk about passion. Take one step into that facility and you will see passion. What they do every day is remarkable. Just in the time I was there working on the paperwork with Bella, you know, it was very snowy. It was early January. And they were bringing in, you know, animals who they were finding on the side of the road. And it was freezing and in blizzards and they're shaking and they hadn't eaten. And they're amazing people and they don't get enough credit. And I really, really hope that we can raise the money necessary to get them a new facility because they deserve it. They need it.
I've actually been I've been down there and I've used their services for friends and family, and I have to say that when you say that they work with passion, it's almost like they are truly the angels. I'm angel by name, but they are truly angels because what they do with those animals is that they provide them the shelter and the health they need. Because as I'm not mistaken, when you did get Bella, all the shots, everything was taken care of and stuff like that.
It was $140, okay. And they had Bella for a few weeks. It came with spaying and food and $140. And I'm not taking anything away from these purebreds or anything else. You know, my friends have spent thousands on dogs. Bella was $140, and she doesn't love me any less, and I don't love her any less than a purebred. I mean, I'm going to help them raise some money because $140 is, you know, nothing. And that's a hotel night.
That's fantastic too. And not only that, they're healthy and they're taken care of.
She's a beauty.
That's beautiful. I can see how. And speaking of that, it's even more than the chamber. I mean,
it's embarrassing how much. I mean, she's just fantastic. Perfect.
And for those of you listening, this piece of paper with